This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western civilization and Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend William Grigg, who writes our monthly newsletter, who certainly was formerly the editor, chief editor of the New American Magazine, and worked for Republic Magazine, certainly is a prolific writer, has written a number of books, certainly appears regularly on Lou Rockwell's website, and certainly... But what are we going to be talking about this evening, William?
Well, Dr. Stan, it's always a pleasure to be with you. And it's interesting, you said I worked for the New Republic magazine, and actually I did. Back in 1987, 1988, I was briefly working there through another program that wasn't directly connected to that liberal magazine. I requested to be sent there because I was fascinated to see how that element of the mainstream media worked. And I was there actually as an assistant, an editorial assistant to Fred Barnes, who's on Fox News quite a bit now. So I went from New Republic to New American, and of course they have very little in common. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about this evening, strangely enough, is a piece that was just published in New Republic on their website about some of the things that we have witnessed over the last couple of weeks in Ferguson with the riots giving rise to this grotesque display of militarized overkill by the local police, the county police, the state police, and then by the National Guard. And this has introduced millions of people who had been previously oblivious to this subject, to the subject of militarization of law enforcement and how far afield we have strayed from the ideal of having locally controlled, demilitarized county sheriffs and peace officers whose primary mission would be to protect private property. And one of the things I want to emphasize here, this is something we talk about in the newsletter this month, is this really devious dialectic that's going on between the rioters, the looters, for the most part, the Renamob, people who were attracted to Ferguson out of a sense of opportunism, ideological opportunism, or a motive that would lead them to seek to exacerbate division in order to promote revolution. These people obviously are on the street threatening property, threatening people, throwing Molotov cocktails at businesses, at homes, and such like. So they're attacking private property. And then the police would move in and shoo the peaceful protesters off the street and attack private property at the same time. There were more than a few instances where a home or a business would be hit by a Molotov cocktail attack. And then within a very brief period of time, the police would show up and they would direct less lethal armaments, supposedly less lethal armaments, such as rubber bullets and wooden rounds, and also CF canisters at private property. And the message being sent is, first of all, that the police are not there to deal with the looters and the pillagers, but rather to deal with the protesters. And secondly, in terms of the way that the organizational priorities were established and the operational command was carried out, they were on the same side as the rioters. They were both attacking private property. And New Republic magazine, in examining all this, published a lengthy piece saying the real problem here isn't necessarily the militarization of the police as such. The problem is that American citizens, American civilians, own guns. There are 300 million guns in circulation in this country, which means the police are always on edge, always preoccupied with the threat to them. So if we want to do away with militarization of police, according to the torque logic of the New Republic, we should disarm the public.
Well, of course, but we know that there were many times where there was actually looting of buildings, and of course, where the store owners were there with guns to protect their buildings. But the police were not protecting the private property. People had to protect it themselves with guns, but I bet the New Republic didn't mention that.
Of course not.
We're going to be back in just a moment with William Grigg right here at Radio Liberty.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
It's Dr. Stan, our guest is William Grigg. I'm just talking about what's going on in Ferguson and the overreaction by the police. And, of course, by so overreacting, why, of course, they tend to do, aggravate the entire position and situation. Go right ahead, William.
In this New Republic article, the comment is made that last year police officers fired their weapons three times. Nobody was fatally shot by police. There are hundreds of fatal shootings each year by local police in the United States. When I tweeted out this stunning stat earlier this week, no shortage of people noted an obvious explanation for why British police were so much less likely to fire their guns. There were far fewer guns around them. The UK has some of the world's strictest limitations on gun ownership. Handguns are all but prohibited, while shotguns and rifles require a police certificate and special justification. Self-defense does not qualify. There are an estimated 14,000 handguns in civilian hands in the UK, which has a population of about 63 million. Slightly more than 2 million shotguns and rifles. Estimates for the number of total firearms in civilian hands in the U.S. float north of 300 million. That, by the way, is a lowball estimate because that's less than the population of the United States. And that was an estimate I saw a better part of a decade and a half ago when I was at the United Nations covering the International Summit on Firearms. In other words, the Global Gun Grab Conference. The speakers at that event were lamenting that there were something in the neighborhood of 400 million firearms in private hands in the United States, which I think, of course, is a glorious reality. In any case, the New Republic magazine continues, simply put, if the police in the U.S. seem a lot more on edge than those across the pond, they have good reason to be. As obvious as this explanation for the militarization and trigger happiness of U.S. police may be, it has got relatively little attention amid the alarming spectacle that has played out in Ferguson, Missouri, following the fatal police shooting of an unarmed black 18-year-old, and more recently, the fatal shooting just a few miles away of a mentally ill man holding a knife. Incidentally, Dr. Stan, there's a tremendous essay that was published today in a journal, the name of which I can't immediately remember, that had two videos from the UK showing how British police deal with deranged criminal suspects armed with edged weapons. You had probably 12 to 20 police officers surround the man and simply wait him out rather than charging him and shooting at him the way this happened just recently in St. Louis County.
But one of the statistics that I don't think anybody's mentioned is you still have an awful lot of violence in England, even though the people do not have weapons, they do not have pistols, they have knives and other things. And aren't there a lot of people killed with alternative means over in England?
Yeah, they've not cured the problem of sin nature and greed and aggression by making the means of self-defense illegal. They have a horrible violent crime rate in the UK, especially for a country that size. Anyhow, to continue here with the New Republic's treatment, the oversight may be partly because this aspect of the debate undermines one of the most popular media narratives to emerge from Ferguson, the notion of a growing right-left coalition united against heavy-handed police tactics. Indeed, there is agreement between many liberals and libertarians that the militarization of the police, especially in its dealings with racial minorities, has gone too far. But this consensus may crumble pretty quickly when it's confronted with the obvious police counterargument that the authorities' heavy firepower and armor is necessary in light of all the firepower they're up against. And once again, I have to insert a parenthetical comment here. About a year ago, a little less than a year ago, I called up two police departments here in Idaho that just received these mine-resistant armored personnel carriers, these MRAP vehicles, through the Pentagon's 1033 program. I spoke with the lieutenant of the Nampa Police Department and then Chief Ken Geddes of the police department in Preston, Idaho. Preston's only about 3,000 or 4,000 people. It's a ethnically and religiously homogenous community with no violent crime. Why do they have an MRAP? And I asked something similar of the police in Nampa. That's a town of about 70,000 to 80,000 people with an unacceptable crime rate. They both said the same thing. We need this because everybody in Idaho has guns. The assumption being that because you have law-abiding, I don't really like that expression, lawful, non-aggressive people with firearms, that somehow that reality means that the police must have superior firepower, not because everybody they're dealing with is necessarily a criminal suspect, but simply because they're armed. The idea is that the very existence of an armed citizenry is a threat to officer safety. And that's something which has been inculturated in law enforcement for about the last 20 years or so. As a matter of fact, Dr. Stan, I wouldn't be surprised if we did a detailed study. If somebody would give me a fellowship or a grant to do this, I would love to do this study of police training subsequent to the 1994 Omnibus Crime Bill, which was enacted under the Clinton administration, which contained a huge amount of money to federalize local law enforcement and also to promote civilian disarmament. And I wouldn't be surprised if we would see a dramatic and documentable increase in the amount of time spent catechizing police cadets and police officials in the idea that an armed citizenry is, by definition, a threat to officer safety. That's something of a novel doctrine, quite frankly, in American law enforcement, given our heritage and given the reality of the Second Amendment is a testament to the primacy of the armed citizen in the founding concepts of this country. And the New Republic magazine, of course, is taking the position that there can be no effective alliance between left-leaning civil libertarians and conservative political libertarians, because conservative libertarians or right-leaning libertarians don't support civilian disarmament. In order to make the police less threatening, we shouldn't be disarming or downgrading the armament of the police. We should be disarming the citizenry. That's what the New Republic is promoting as a solution to the problem of police militarization. And the article concludes in these words: there may well be some left-right middle ground to be found here, short of engaging the broader gun law debate. And then he cites a couple of experts, Bradley Balko and Ted Cappell, David Cappell, rather, are right that just because we live in a country where some people keep stockpiles of high-powered rifles, SWAT teams don't need to use military-style weaponry on routine drug raids or crowd control confrontations. By the way, SWAT team should not be involved in either of those activities. We shouldn't be having drug raids because we shouldn't be treating a vice as if it were a crime. The war on drugs should be done away with entirely. And secondly, SWAT shouldn't be involved in crowd control. This is something that not many people appreciate. SWAT, when it was created in 1968, was supposed to be used sparingly, if at all. It was supposed to be used with principled, parsimonious care for high-risk situations involving urban terrorism or hostage situations or mass bank robberies or outbreaks of extraordinary violence. They weren't supposed to be used for routine warrant enforcement. They certainly weren't supposed to be used for crowd control. And when you had large protests in the 1960s and 1970s in Washington, D.C., the chief of the D.C. police made a point of keeping the riot police well afield, back away from the main protest area, because the presence of people dressed that way was calculated to be provocative. The very fact that they would show up would engender a type of reciprocal radicalism on the part of the crowd and then create a feedback loop that would lead to disaster. That happened in Chicago during the 1968 Democratic National Convention. But what this guy is saying, basically, is that maybe SWAT should have a role in crowd control confrontations. That's one of the worst uses for a SWAT team to continue now. For that matter, no amount of firepower in civilian hands really explains why police in this country are apparently free to gun down mentally ill people wielding knives, scissors, or gardening shears, as happens all too often. But with such a gulf of disagreement between left and right over the laws that should govern firearms, it is very hard to envision any broad and lasting alliance between them in restraining the police forces whose job it is to patrol and secure this gun-ridden land. Now, I want to register a profound and emphatic dissent from the idea that the role of peace officers in a free society is to patrol and secure the territory. The job of peace officers is to be reactive the way that a fire department is reactive. They're called out to help when necessary in order to protect private property and persons from criminal aggression, or more likely, to investigate crimes that involve an injury to private property, which includes, of course, the person, the victim. That's the role of peace officers, not to patrol and secure. Patrolling and securing, of course, is the type of activity you would expect from an occupying army in a garrison state. And in principle, if you assume that the only way we can have order is if we are under the supervision of armed government agents, then you've accepted the founding premise of every version of collectivism, and that leads ineluctably to some kind of a police state. When we had a decentralized constitutional republic in this country between the founding era and perhaps the latter part of the 19th century, we had county sheriffs, we had free-ranging federal marshals with very limited responsibility. The first time we actually had police officers who would aggressively pursue suspects and then treat resistance as a crime was in the enforcement of the fugitive slave laws that were enacted in the early 19th century and then radically enhanced in around 1850, 1851 or so. And that really is, I think, sort of the most important strain, the most important American, distinctly American strain of modern police doctrine. You know, we imported Robert Peel's model of quasi-military police in, I believe, 1843, 1844, when the NYPD was formed. And even within 10 or 15 years of that, it was still controversial when these people were carrying guns. They were seen as officers of public peace that were supposed to be apprehending suspects who were involved in petty larceny, and they were supposed to come to the aid of people who were under siege. But the idea that these people would be patrolling and securing the streets was completely foreign to the American sensibility of the 19th century, just as it was foreign to the British sensibility in London in the 1830s and 1840s when Peel created the Metropolitan Police Department. But I think that what happened is you commingled that military model with the militancy of the enforcement of the slave laws in the 1850s, and an American hybrid was born that has now become feral. And we're not going to solve this problem by disarming the public that is being confronted by this increase in the militarized and federalized law enforcement body, the way the New Republic is suggesting. But that's to be expected from the New Republic. They're a socialist publication, after all.
Okay, well, hang on to that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment with William Craig.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
And certainly Dr. Stan William is talking about certainly the racial disparity in Ferguson, about 68% black, and yet, of course, the police force is predominantly all white. I think there may be four black officers. And then, of course, the city government's all white. And certainly the blacks there really many times are taken advantage of. They don't get fair trials. And so there is certainly a reason for a racial animosity or a feeling of racial animosity among the blacks. But go right ahead, William.
If you just take a look at the way this works out in economic terms, leave race out of this for a second. One of the really striking illustrations or contrasts in this report by Art City Defenders is between the city of Pine Lawn, which is a village of 3,300 people, 96% black, a per capita income of $13,000. That city collected $1.7 million in fines and court fees last year. The only purpose for these courts is to have a conga line of people who are going to be milked and built for the benefit of the municipal court system and the municipal government it serves. Contrast that with what happened in Chesterfield, which is a very affluent suburb, 15 times the size of Pine Lawn, a per capita income of $50,000, which, of course, is above the national average. They only brought in $1.2 million in municipal fines during the same period, 15 times the size of Pine Lawn, much higher, more than, almost four times the per capita income, but yet they had less revenue through fines and fees by $500,000 in this tiny little suburb of St. Louis. Ferguson and Florissant, their neighboring little municipalities there in St. Louis County, last year brought in $3.5 million between the two of them in fines and fees, most of it imposed on these people who didn't have adequate legal representation, didn't understand the system, and don't have the means to pay. It's very commonplace for people in the courts in Ferguson and elsewhere to find themselves being hit with fines that are triple their monthly income. And all this is being done for the benefit of a political class that really could be looked upon as almost absentee landlords. They hold office there, but many of them don't actually live there. And so you've got a situation where these people are in a, I think it's fair to describe it as borderline hopeless situation. They're, once again, trapped within this unyielding system where many of the people who've done no discernible injury to anybody, you know, traffic stops because of a taillight or a speeding ticket or a noise violation, can literally lead you to the ruination of your economic prospects. So when you have the shooting take place in a neighborhood there in Ferguson on the basis of what was on the face of it at the time, a jaywalking complaint, and the body of this 18-year-old, this unarmed 18-year-old, was left to fester in the streets for between 2 and 4 hours. And people can't find out why this happened. They're puzzled over what had happened. And you don't get the straight story from the police department for day after day after day. And a week later, we find out after the fact that Michael Brown was a suspect in a strong-arm robbery, but that the police officer who shot him didn't know that. No, these things really, I think, abrade the already tender sensibilities of people who perceive themselves to be fodder for a municipal system that's based on plunder. You know, what they're doing, what the municipal government in Ferguson is doing is a form of looting and plunder, every bit as pernicious as what was done by the Molotov cocktail-throwing nitwits who showed up to capitalize on the aggravation over the Michael Brown shooting. The difference is it's institutionalized and it's done in more genteel fashion through courts of law by well-heeled people in expensive suits who speak in an abstruse language that's not understood by even educated people, let alone working-class people in a place like Ferguson. But that has to be put into the equation as well. And so whatever else we know about what happened between Michael Brown and Officer Darren Wilson, we should know that Officer Wilson, whether he's an upright and otherwise upright, decent man, he was part of a municipal machine that is, for lack of a better word, exploiting the population there in Ferguson for the material benefit of a politically connected elite that doesn't have the interests of the population of Ferguson at heart. And that's the sort of thing that, of course, is going to lend itself to exacerbating existing conflicts. And it doesn't, I don't think, even necessarily have anything to do with race. It has to do with municipal corruption. Take a look at East St. Louis. They have the same situation there, but it's almost entirely black, including the police force, the municipal government, the court system. And I would think people need to pay a little bit more attention to that as part of the larger picture of what's going on in that county and in that area of the St. Louis, Illinois borderline. But I think that not many people are willing to look at those terms because we're being told that this is entirely a matter of race. That's the narrative that the establishment wants to follow.
All right, fine. We're going to be back in just a moment with William Grigg discussing what happened in Ferguson and all the conflicting stories we're getting.
Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and as William is pointing out, why it's very, very difficult to figure out what really happened there. The police are covering her up as much as they can. However, a grand jury is being convened, and suddenly the FBI is there, and they're getting statements from many of the witnesses. I mean, there's so many conflicting stories. I mean, the one story initially about how this man was walking away and was shot in the back several times, and then fell to the ground, and with his hands above him saying, "Don't shoot," why he was shot twice in the back of the head. Well, there's no truth to that story at all. I mean, somebody's putting out all sorts of conflicting stories. Apparently, most of the shots were from the front rather than from behind. So it's almost impossible to tell what's really going on. We're going to have three separate autopsies to try to get the story, and it's going to be interesting as this thing develops. But it is being used as a vehicle of turning black against white and white against black. Go right ahead.
Yeah, that's what I anticipated would happen. I think most people anticipated that would happen. And I've said, I've had a couple of interviews about this subject today, Dr. Stan, and I have shared the talking points, the bullet points that I shared just a few minutes ago by way of underscoring the fact that we really don't have a cohesive, coherent story that would explain from the police perspective what happened in ways that I think would alleviate the understandable and reasonable fears and suspicions of people who understand that. For the most part in this country, police are unaccountable when they use legal force. That's something I talked about last week, Dr. Stan, the fact that there's this doctrine called the reasonable officer standard under the Tennessee versus Garner ruling of 1985 by the Supreme Court, and then Graham versus Connor from 1989. The former talks about the idea that not every use of legal force against a fleeing suspect is justifiable, particularly if you're dealing with an unarmed suspect. If the suspect's unarmed and he doesn't pose an immediate threat to the life or physical health, the physical safety of the police officer or somebody else. You can't shoot to kill. You can't shoot to kill. That's the 1985 Garner versus Tennessee. And the facts in that case were quite similar to what we've learned now about the Michael Brown shooting, and that Michael Brown has been described now as a suspect in a strong-arm robbery, but was unarmed at the time of this fatal confrontation with Officer Wilson. The Graham versus Conner ruling deals with the requirement to use the least oppressive means, or the least violent means, that level of force that is minimal in dealing with a criminal suspect. In other words, if you're dealing with somebody who shoplifted a Tootsie Roll, you can't beat him to death with a club or taser until he vomits. You know, there has to be a reasonable application of proportionate force with an advantage toward the enforcement side under Graham versus Conner. But when you have a lethal force incident, generally what will happen is a police officer, after surrendering his firearm, which is kept for forensic study as evidence collection, will immediately be placed on paid administrative leave. He will invoke his Garrity privilege under New Jersey versus Garrity, which means that everything he says in the performance review or the internal inquiry of the lethal shooting can only be used with respect to his career prospects, not for criminal or civil prosecution. If he chooses not to cooperate with the investigation, he can be fired from his job, but nothing he tells investigators can be used against him in court, either civil or criminal court. And so the police officer will huddle with his union representative and with his lawyer, and protected by Garrity, he'll tell a story. And then a cooling off period will usually ensue before you actually have the investigation begin. In Dallas County in Texas, this is something, or Dallas, Texas, in any case, this is something I find just abhorrent but very typical, unfortunately. Police are now allowed to review any video evidence of the shooting before they give their story of what happened. That's like an open book test. The difference is you're dealing with an incident that involves the death of a human being. But what's going on in Ferguson right now is in a way quite similar, because I think that the fact that he didn't fill out an incident report immediately after the shooting means that the story was not set. And the fact that we don't have an incident report now means that there's no way of knowing what the official story is until after the grand jury deliberation. So this guy's probably going to testify before a grand jury. We've been told that it'll be 12-member panel, 9 of whom are white, 3 of whom are black. And once again, people are impressing upon us the supposedly transcendently important issue of the racial divide. But we've not been told if Officer Wilson has testified before this grand jury, if a warrant has been issued on the basis of his testimony, if he's considered to be innately credible by this jury. The St. Louis district attorney is a fellow who very much identifies with the police, and he's been notorious for his refusal to go after police officers who have been involved in very dubious leap of force incidents. There was one back in 2000 in which two men who were convicted drug dealers were shot and killed by undercover police operatives under very dubious circumstances. And what the police officer said there, St. Louis County police officer said, was that these two people had attempted to run them down in an automobile, and it turns out that they had perjured themselves. They had demonstrably documented lying about the circumstances involving this use of force. But the incumbent district attorney, the same man who's in power right now and presiding over the investigation of the shooting, dismissed this, saying in so many words that it didn't really matter, that the facts of this particular case may not have led to a justified shoot. These were bad guys, and they got more or less what was coming to them. And that, of course, is completely incompatible with the Anglo-Saxon tradition of the rule of law. You know, you have to have specific investigation on the basis of articulable suspicion, probable cause, that leads to an accumulation of evidence that overcomes the presumption of innocence before you convict somebody of a crime, and at that point you can punish them. You can't simply say, well, we'll punish them and then assume that there's something they did that merits that punishment, especially when you're talking about police acting as judge, jury, and executioner, and as the only review board for the sentence handed down. Well, he's the guy who's presiding now over this case in Ferguson, which is why I've said from the beginning that I don't see how you're going to have Darren Wilson actually forced to face a criminal trial here for his action. I don't think that the grand jury is going to indict him. I don't think that the justice going to bring civil rights charges against him. I think that what's going to happen is that there's going to be a consent decree imposed upon the Ferguson Police Department. I think that there's going to be something similar done to the St. Louis County Police Department. I think perhaps there's going to be an overture to Micah Brown's relatives, his grandmother primarily, his mother and father. I gather that they've never been married. But I think there's going to be an overture made to his immediate family very soon for some kind of preemptive discussions regarding a settlement. I think that they're going to receive a settlement very quickly. I think that what's going to happen after the grand jury most likely no-bills the officer here is that all this is going to be announced, and there's going to be something done by way of perhaps a cosmetic reform of the system there in Ferguson for the purpose of trying to placate everybody in lieu of actually prosecuting Officer Wilson. Whether or not prosecution will be merited, I just don't see it happening here. But Dr. Stan, as I point out in the current issue of the Radio Liberty newsletter, what I think is going to happen is that this is a fire that's going to propagate itself. It's going to find an underground seam, and it's going to propagate itself in other urban areas. And I think that's by design. I think that for the last, 8 years certainly, but probably for the last 15, 20, 30 years, that the people who presume to rule us have been spreading around the tinder, and they've been spraying accelerant on this increasingly brittle fuel, waiting for just the right spark to catch fire and nurse itself into a condensing conflagration. So I wouldn't be surprised to see efforts being made to turn this into the climactic event that's going to lead to really severe race-focused violence in this country. And at the same time, there's another narrative being woven into this, and that's the idea of the suddenly insurgent threat of the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, ISIS, which is a creation brought to us by the same people who brought us Al-Qaeda, and that's, of course, the CIA. Norm Singleton, who's an associate of Dr. Ron Paul, made an interesting comment today. He said, does anyone else find it interesting how the ISIS narrative has suddenly changed from last week's bombing and arming the Kurds is working, ISIS is on the run, to OMG, ISIS is coming, it's worse than Al-Qaeda, worse than 9/11, just as the debate over the militarization of the police goes mainstream? I don't think that's at all coincidental. I do find it interesting. I find it eminently explicable. As a matter of fact, just this morning there was an article in the press in Miami where they were quoting somebody who's a representative of one of the lobbying groups for what you might call the SWAT community. And what that person said was, well, you take a look at ISIS overseas, and you hear how people in Congress are saying that they're a threat to our cities. You know, we are the first line of defense. We have to have all this military-grade hardware because basically we are on the front lines of a 360-degree battlefield. And so we have to have this gear. It's here so that we can protect you from ISIS. In other words, I actually, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, saw a piece in a specialty publication for law enforcement making the same argument. This is before the bombing began and ISIS was being treated as sort of a recombinant menace, incorporating the worst elements of Al-Qaeda and for all I know, fictional supervillains from the Marvel Universe. But several weeks ago, this specialty publication for law enforcement made exactly the same point, which is that people are moaning and whining right now about militarization of law enforcement. But what are they going to do? Who are they going to turn to when ISIS comes and attacks our town? You know, basically, this author was all but salivating over the prospect of ISIS showing up and wreaking havoc in the United States. And you've got Chuck Hagel and I think several senators, including the ones who are reliably wrong about everything having to do with foreign policy, saying in so many words, that they expect that we're going to have American cities in flames because ISIS is going to be attacking the homeland. We've heard, I think it was Senator Inhofe from Oklahoma, say that we've never been at greater risk than we are now from ISIS. And ISIS is a completely confected threat. I mean, they're horrible. I'm not going to pretend that these people are anything other than the dregs of the dregs of the created order. But as far as I can tell, you're dealing with a group that is geographically limited. They claim to be an army. They claim to be a state. They claim to represent Islam. And that's, of course, something that most Muslims don't agree with. I would be willing to bet. You know, there's more than a billion of them. This group doesn't represent all of them. But as far as I can tell, they're no more of an existential threat to the United States than Al-Qaeda was. Al-Qaeda was nothing more than a brand name and a franchise. And it bears repeating incessantly that this is a group that was distilled by the CIA out of the worst elements of all the previous radical Islamic groups they'd worked with. Now, for the purpose of conducting warfare primarily in Syria, and of course there are elements of the CIA-backed rebels from Libya as well that have been involved in this. And you take a look at the media propaganda these people put out, the social media propaganda. I mean, they're on Twitter, they're on Facebook, they're putting out YouTube videos that are very slick, very, very highly produced. You know, this is the sort of thing that bespeaks a high-grade investment of unaccountable money from people who are well-versed in propaganda and know exactly what buttons to push the American psyche. That doesn't describe a group of people who emerged sua sponte from the landscape in the Near East and in Northern Africa. That bespeaks training and mentoring and subsidy and guidance by three-letter intelligence agencies, the most notorious of which, of course, is there in Langley, Virginia. And I think what's happening now is that these narratives are being blended together in a way that's just perfectly calibrated to counteract the growing concern over police militarization. You know, the real threat, I actually got an email, a letter from somebody today making this point. Well, we don't know what happened in Ferguson, but the real threat right now is Islamic Jihad. You know, he just perfectly pivoted from one set of talking points to another set of talking points as he was being prompted to do by the government-aligned media. And we're going to see many examples of that type of utterly surrendered indoctrination on the part of the public. And I think within a couple of weeks, this window of opportunity is likely to close regarding concern over what happened in Ferguson as an illustration of outright garrison state tactics by a militarized police body. I think we're probably going to see other outrages orchestrated probably by ISIS and other people of that sort.
I'm going to have to interrupt you because it's time to get out your website, how people can get hold of your writings, how they can certainly get to your PayPal button, how they can hear your radio program, how they can actually get the article that you write every month for the Radio Liberty newsletter. Why don't you just put a little plug in for yourself? Because
appreciate that, Dr. Stan. My chief outlet is the Pro Libertate blog, which can be found at freedominourtime.blogspot.com. It's spelled as one word, freedominourtime.blogspot.com. And I update it two or three times a week as my schedule permits, as the occasion presents itself. There is a PayPal button at the right-hand margin of the page and also at the bottom of every essay. And there's also a Bitcoin button at the right-hand margin of the page next to the PayPal button. I really appreciate any help the people can provide. At the bottom of every essay as well, there's a link to my Freedom Zealot podcast, which is also a radio program broadcast on the Liberty News Radio Network every Saturday at 8 o'clock Mountain Time or 7 o'clock Pacific. Go to libertyroundtable.com, libertyroundtable.com, and look at the upper right-hand corner of the page. There's a Listen Live Now button. You can listen to my program when it's broadcast every Saturday night at 8 o'clock Mountain, 7 o'clock Pacific. Or go to the bottom of my page, there's a link to the most recent Freedom Development podcast. And that same archive contains excerpts from the daily radio commentary I do for a group of Christian radio stations called the Liberty Minute. Those are a little longer than a minute duration, very small, very short, very pithy. I also write for lewrockwell.com, lewrockwell.com. They publish a lot of my material, and I also contribute to the blog section of that publication, lewrockwell.com. And I'm on Twitter, and I'm on Facebook, and I'm on YouTube, the Freedom Zealot channel on YouTube. But it's all focused on my chief outlet, which is the Pro Libertate blog, freedominourtime.blogspot.com. That's where you'll find my PayPal button.
And, of course, don't forget that William writes the monthly newsletter for Radio Liberty. And Sidney is on the front lines, and Sidney gives you an excellent overview of what's going on. I thought his analysis of certainly what's going on in Ferguson is vitally important. And the tragedy is, of course, that, you know, the average good black person who's concerned, but he doesn't have a voice, and we have to rely upon a situation like this. But, of course, they're doing everything they can to create racial animosity, and that's the last thing we want. We do not want American turns against American. We're going to be back here in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program right here at Radio Liberty.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners out across America that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. We're dependent upon those of you who listen to our program and agree with me or agree with our great guests as to what's going on. And you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters by very simply calling 1-800-544-8927. You can join the Radio Liberty family. You can give a donation. You can get the books or a CD set or certainly DVDs that we offer, and we have all sorts of them. You can get them on our website, RadioLiberty.com. Or if you'd like a free catalog, just give us a call. 1-800-544-8927. Ask for a free catalog. We'll be glad to send it to you. But it's vitally important that we get people across America to get a hold of the four CD sets. We have a wonderful new one dangerous electricity. And you're going to find out how dangerous so many of the electronic gadgets you have are. The CDC and certainly the health authorities know what they're doing, and they're effectively destroying the health of the American people. Why would anybody do that? Well, you need to hear our four CDs out on population control. You need to understand there really are evil and wicked people out there who hate humanity. And if you haven't read my population control agenda monograph, you can get it on the internet. Just type in population control agenda or go to our website and you can pull it down and read it. I wrote it a decade ago, but it's just as true today as it was when we originally presented it. There really are people who feel that there are too many people in the world and they intend to kill off literally billions of people. We're headed towards a major war, and whether it's coming within a few months or a few years, I can't tell you, but it should be very obvious from what's going on today that they're preparing certainly for a major war with the Islamic world, probably another war, a separate war with the communists in Russia, and probably a great war between the West and certainly China and Russia. We don't know all the sequences of this, so certainly, but you can go to the Bible and you can read the prophecies there about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And we're simply told that if God didn't intervene, why, there'd be really no one left at all, because there's going to be tremendous carnage. And the average individual finds this very hard to believe. They just simply want to live the good life. And we do have a wonderful life here. But basically, it's all pretend and make-believe. We have over 100 million people living in a household that's getting some form of welfare. 153 million Americans are getting some sort of government check, like Social Security welfare, but we don't have the money. We're going behind, certainly, every single month. And the national debt is well over $17 trillion. And other countries are becoming increasingly loath to certainly lend us money. There's no better way to destroy a great nation than to destroy its financial stability. And that's exactly what, of course, the Obama administration is doing. But it's not just the Obama administration. The Obama administration is simply part and parcel of an organized, orchestrated effort to alter the very structure of the society we live in. And so we do hope many of you out there will certainly go to RadioLiberty.com, where you can watch our DVDs, or you can listen to our radio programs live 4 hours a day, archived certainly 24 hours a day. You can read our newsletters, including William Griggs, the monthly newsletter, but you can read the newsletters I've written for the last 15 years or more. This will give you an overview of what is really going on today. And then, of course, we hope that you'll read our section there on population control, on the Georgia Guidestones, and get some of the links that we have. And then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. I will be back here in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program.
While the storm clouds gather, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in a song.
be late.
No. White with gold. God bless America. My home.
Right, Pop? Right, son.
Well, he's sort of been sabotaged over and over again because he's going to the fact that the elite, for whatever reason, you may want to conjecture, but the elite are preparing for very difficult times. They're militarizing our police because they know there's going to be civil unrest in America. They're suddenly buying massive amounts of ammunition, far more than they would ever use even for a war against the American people. They laid in massive supplies of food. They suddenly have set out underground facilities where the elite can go. And basically, of course, they have set up their electronic surveillance society where they can listen to everything we say, watch so much of what we do with cameras. They know there's going to be a major problem. We could disagree as to what that problem is going to be. But the world we have known in the past is not going to continue existing. And suddenly there are many, many people who give many, many reasons why these things are happening. We're just going to have to wait and see. Bob, it's good to have you with us tonight. What would you like to talk about?
Hi, Stan. It's good to be here again. Well, I want to touch base on a couple of different things. There's a lot of unusual things and events have popped up here in the last couple of weeks. We're waiting to get our DVD finished and back up here from California. So I've been sort of treading water, taking care of other things, and of course expanding into trying to keep track of what's going on. This is, like I say, I want to kind of hit on a couple of different things. But I discovered a speech, and it was only a day or so ago, a speech that was done by Obama, President Obama. And it's literally, it's almost the speech that those of us who have been chasing the bad guys for so many years, who have been pursuing New World Order, One World Government, of course, that's basically that whole concept has sort of been denied by those people that are pursuing it and the people that support those persons that may be pursuing it. You know, they say, oh, no, that's not really, that doesn't really exist. They're not really trying to do that. Nobody's ever really trying to do that. And they always sidestep that reality. And I found this speech. I'd recorded it, and I want to see the whole speech because sometimes things are taken out of context and can be deceiving. But I heard Obama... and actually had film on it with Obama doing a speech before a group of high-level personalities in a large, pretty large convention-type audience. And he actually said, and I'm just going here by paraphrasing here because I don't have it right in front of me, but basically he said, as for... the concept that we have been working towards for so long, creating a one government.
Hold that thought. Cut that thought. We'll be right back.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And Garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy Garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order Garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Fletcher, and Bob was simply saying that he has actually gotten some film of Sidney, the President of the United States, Obama, giving a talk to one of the elect groups and talking to Sidney about how they're preparing for this. Was it for the world government?
Right. Basically, and again, I'm paraphrasing. I should have, and it was secondary to myself wanting to talk about this, but it bothered me so much. I really will get the entire text in proper form and go back over it and bring it, you know, we'll bring it back maybe next week or sometime. But basically, and again, I'm paraphrasing, what he was saying was, he said, and this is almost the exact words now, he said, we know that the average American cannot handle his own affairs properly and take care of himself appropriately. And so until they surrender to an all-powerful, single government, we must continue our efforts to accomplish the new order. And basically that was the essence of what he said. And I couldn't believe it. And like I said, I physically saw the film, and I have it. And I have to, you know, get it back so that I have it, you know, word for word. I like to do things that way anyhow, you know. But and it was really mind-boggling because, you know, up to this point in time, you would never hear a seated president say anything like that and have it recorded, you know, not certainly in, available to the general public. And I fell off of my seat when I received this thing. So anyhow, I just wanted to mention it. I want to put it out there that it actually does exist. And I will see to it that I get back and give it the, you know, verbatim and try to find the date and to whom he was speaking. Was pretty big, like a convention hall filled with people with you know, champagne glasses in hand. So it was rather, you know, that type of a gathering. That it was the first time I've ever heard a seated president talking directly as to the pursuit of world government, and including to say something like that we know that the average American is unable to handle his own affairs. I mean, that was, you know, like, wow, where did he ever come from to come off with that kind of verbiage? It really blew me away. But anyhow, that is just strange. But what's been bothering me, putting that aside, kind of on a back shelf, so to speak, now, what's been bothering me is, it's kind of personally, the Yellowstone Park. You know, I a big point of that you mentioned, my new DVD that we're finally getting into, going to be able to get that thing out. That's primarily on the basis of fact that the New World Order upper echelon elitist have been stealing all of our money in such giant amounts, a matter of fact, worldwide, to create good survival locations for themselves on the basis of the incoming of Planet Nibiru or Planet X, and having it come back, and that they are aware of it and they are concerned about it, and so therefore have changed many, many things here in the last few years and decided to spend a tremendous amount of money to hide themselves away, et cetera. But there are a tremendous amount of earth changes going on in the last, I'm going to say the last 4 months, actually. Actually, I guess since the beginning of the year, so it would be 6-7 months now. But the Yellowstone Park, I happen to live, actually, I'm probably, I suppose it's 800 miles away, but it's due west. You can almost draw a line from my backyard directly traveling east to the Yellowstone Park. And they're having extraordinary activity there now. And everybody's aware that we have what's considered to be actually probably the biggest potential volcano in the world lays right there underneath the Yellowstone National Park.
And I'd heard recently that some people had estimated it was twice as large as they'd ever estimated it before.
That's correct, and that's part of the new information that I have, that they have recently discovered it is probably 2.5 times bigger than they anticipated. They've now measured it to be, and these measurements now are pretty accurate. They're very scientifically done. They're done seismographically, where they actually are using electronic impulses, and they can do a complete three-dimensional picture of the cauldron and what's going underneath, what is bubbling and boiling beneath the ground at the park. And they do that by shooting these electronic impulses, audio impulses in and out through it and around it. And it actually is exactly like having an X-ray taken at the hospital, and it gives them a perfect picture of it. And the bottom line is, yes, it's considered to be 2.5 times larger, and believe it or not, 400 miles deep is how far this thing runs now. I mean, it's what they've got the picture of, which, of course, is unbelievable. But what's been going on that's bothering me, literally, they've had to close off several sections at the park and near the geyser, their main feature there that blows off every, whatever it is, every 35 minutes or something like that, the big tourist attraction area. They've had to close off the roads because the roads are now melting. The asphalt at the Yellowstone Park roads are becoming so hot, they are melting. Now, that's as of 2 days ago. All right. Now, additionally, they've been doing they track CO2, carbon dioxide is one of the primary things that they track, and also sulfur dioxide, and they measure that. That has been increasing all around in the little fissures, little openings that come out. The amount and percentage of that is increasing. This is a typical, actually a precursor to eruption on other volcanoes. This has become one of about four methods that they measure the potential of a serious volcanic action. Matter of fact, it was, I believe, in Italy a few years ago, just a couple of years back. By measuring that, they decided that there was one that was going to blow. They got the people away, moved the people
was
away.
Was that Vesuvius or what?
No, it wasn't. It was another one, okay. One that we don't commonly think of, okay. And I don't happen to have the name of it, but it was, I think, I'm pretty sure it was in Italy, and or in that area, to put it that way. And anyhow, the point was that they were doing this measuring. It increased radically. They decided to evacuate people, and within 4 days, it did blow. And they actually saved whatever it was, 6,000 people that were living close to this particular volcano. Now, the ground is also rising around in a circle around the primary center for the Yellowstone, the volcano there. The ground not only has been going up, but it also, they have a new means by which they measure by using the GPS positioning satellites. They measure the ground moving outward. So what happens is not only does it start to slowly move up, become rising, so to speak, in a circle, it also, the Earth itself is pushed so that a given point on the ground would move outward in a circle around and away from the main cauldron area on this thing. So they've been measuring, and they are getting movement outward also. And then, of course, only about a year or so back, they had the largest earthquake there that they had in 43 years. You know, whatever it was a 7 or something like that, or 6.5 in that general area, which was the highest that they had had. And so the bottom line is it is really getting rather serious, with the potential of the super volcano blowing at Yellowstone. Now, they're still playing it down, and see, nowadays, because of communications and what have you, and so many amateur seismologists and what have you, now they're keeping track of it, so it's kind of hard to just completely tell people it didn't happen, but it is it is happening. They're trying to play it down so far. They're still saying, oh, it's not that bad, or it's not that important, and don't worry about it, what have you. But they are not letting anybody go on or near the immediate roads, because the tar of the roads themselves have gotten so hot from underneath. They are melting. They are turned into, I think somebody described it as being the consistency of porridge. So when once a roadway, any place at all, because of a beneath the heating situation, becomes so messy that it's like a bowl of porridge. That's pretty spooky, because it means quite obviously there is a serious increase in the temperature directly around the Yellowstone geysers and also spewing out the carbon dioxide.
Now, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, additionally, that going with the gas, there are certain plants that are around, planted there, naturally planted, that have been dying off and being affected because of the carbon dioxide in the air in the immediate area. It's kind of like the canaries that they used to take down in the mines to watch out for gas. When the gas got over a certain point, the canaries would just die, and they knew they had to get out of the mines.
Okay, well, hold that thought. We'll be going to be back in just a few minutes with Bob Fletcher. This is for Tell Something Major coming about. We'll just have to wait and see. We'll be right back.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy Aging Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Fletcher. And Bob is simply pointing out that there's real problems there in Yellowstone Park, that the ground is heating, the ground is moving. The roads there are certainly turning to mush adjacent to the geysers there. And basically, what does it mean? I don't know. Go right ahead, Bob.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I say, they almost regardless of what happens, which has been at least every month or so since the first of the year, they're having these extraordinary events and changes, little groups of earthquakes in the general area there. But they still, of course, they're, you know, kind of poo-pooing it. It's again one of these real problems, a civilian problem, so to speak, because you can't tell people, you can't say, hey, we think you better move out now, because obviously you get into the potential of chaos and rioting and people. Running over each other, trying to get out of town, which of course is eventually going to happen. They'll have to bring in the military to to oversee it and all the rest of that. That's a pretty big deal if you're not really sure. I mean, if you did that and evacuated several hundred thousand people out of a given area, and then nothing happened, well, then you know. It just really becomes a ballistic problem. It's just really, really crazy. But so they're kind of, again, kind of over a barrel in terms of talking much about these. But in terms of the total potential of this thing going, of course, if it this again is called the super volcano, and the total amount of potential Earth, so to speak, blowing out of this thing if and when it takes place. Number one, it, of course, really becomes an earth-altering event. It would probably, if it blows as a supervolcano when it does, because it's going to do it again, it has done it two or three times that they've been able to historically go back on. But if this goes to the full extent, what happens is it blows up, and then the jet stream and what have you, of course, takes all of the ash and everything else, all, moving it eastward across the entire United States. And they calculate that it would put us into what they refer to as a nuclear winter, where the sun would actually be blocked for several years. And it would just be holocaustic. It would be a situation of, the death of all sorts of crops, and then of course not even talking about people and the rest of the problems on that side of it. The ash from these things, like from St. Helens, that was right up here close to myself, where we're located presently. When that fell, it did the same thing, but in a very small amount. The Yellowstone supervolcano would be like a million or two times what took place at St. Helens. It would blow as much as 240 cubic miles of debris 25,000 feet in the air. So anyway, it's just, it's something that commonly you can't even grasp. You know, we can't even imagine the total effects of this thing. But the one over here, the St. Helens, when it blew, it's several hundred miles away from Idaho, where we are. And nonetheless, it left. And now we had moved up after that event. That event was about 1983 when that took place, when St. Helens blew. But the town that we are in now had 6 inches of soot on the ground from the volcano in St. Helens, Washington, which was several hundred miles away. But if we can imagine in terms of a couple of million times worse from the super volcano if it blows at Yellowstone. So,
well, it's something to contemplate. And ladies and gentlemen, well, I believe we're living in very uncertain times. I believe, of course, that America has turned against God. And we certainly think when a nation turns against God, God will allow these supernatural events to happen. And is this going to happen? We don't know. But it's something that's just watch, keep your ear to the ground. And we'll be back in just a moment here with Bob Fletcher as he suddenly analyzes some of the things that are going on behind the scenes, which you're not going to hear about through the regular channels, because the media is rigidly controlled by 6 corporations that largely determine what the American people read, see, hear, and ultimately what they falsely believe.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955. 674-3955.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food. And processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
We have a lot of things. We're going to be in this yet, Mom.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Bob Fletcher. And Bob is just taking us into some of the things that are happening behind the scenes that you're not hearing about. But, of course, Bob always has his ear to the ground, has access to information that you're not ordinarily going to get. And, Bob, pick up the story from there. Is there anything else about Yellowstone you want to talk about before we go on?
So to speak, I guess it would be the connections. When I saw that there was so much of this pretty rare changes going on there, you have to look at that, you know, carefully, and science was looking at it pretty carefully and cautiously because of the size and the magnitude of that thing laying under, right underneath our feet, so to speak. And even though we've known a lot about it, like I say, now it's considered updated information that it is 2.5 times bigger than previously thought. And it's interesting, most all of the volcanoes of the world, by the way, that's another point. When I got looking at this and saw what was going on, I researched the worldwide, and I discovered that, in fact, presently, there are as many as 54 or 55 volcanoes acting up around the world. And now when I say acting up, I'm talking where they actually over the last 6 months have actually blown their top to varying degrees, of course, some of them seriously and some of them being reactivated, but not what we would call seriously hazardous. But that's a lot all at one time, and those, for the most part, are interfaced. They're connected because they lay on the line of where the different plates of the Earth come together, the faults that are in a big kind of a huge semicircle curving around in between all of the world major land masses. But that is common, that obviously where those crevices and the openings are and where one plate hits up against another, where we have earthquakes, those obviously also are the best places for volcanoes to have developed over the millions of years that the Earth's been developing. But Yellowstone has actually punched a hole originally hundreds of miles, if not a thousand miles, away from the closest actual meeting of the plates, so to speak. So it's kind of unusual. It has unto itself enough power and strength to actually press up through the surface of the ground and through the top of the earth without being on a weak spot, so to speak, where all the rest of them are. But the fact, again, that we have actively some 50-something volcanoes taking place, the increase in earthquakes has been tremendous in the last 2 years. It's almost like on a steady incline in the numbers of quakes that would be, let's say, more than a 4 or 3.8 or 4.5. And then, of course, going up from there, they become really serious. And they've been taking place all over as well. And then what they found out, again, recently, because of, I think there's been a higher concern on big volcano activity, they discovered with some new equipment that there are entire strings or chains of volcanoes under the ocean that have that are just like the super volcano underneath Yellowstone. It's these huge pockets of melted magma that's pushing close and actually not erupting at this time, but with the new equipment they've been able to locate these, and there's a whole bunch of them, a large number actually, and there's 15 of them in one chain, I know, that they had discovered that they have now great pictures of under the water, under the ocean. And again, it's something that never was a concern before. But we saw what happened with the tsunami that hit Japan a couple of years ago. And that was from a very small, really a very small earthquake movement under the ocean several hundred miles out from Japan, as what they considered really very, very tiny movement in terms of quake movement. And it did that gigantic tsunami. If we ever had one or three of these volcanoes, which are pretty big and pretty, let's say, close to popping through the surface underneath the ocean, if that happened, we would have tsunami difficulties. And again, it's rather a whole new thing for people that have been following volcanic activity around the earth. And again, I just it's all that sort of interface. They tend to be a situation where if one will get big enough to blow through the surface, it certainly pushes two or three others closer to doing the same thing. So it's kind of just something else to look at. Here I was worried, and of course I certainly am, because I'm sure that I, in my mind, along with some of the other folks studying it, I am sure that we have the incoming of Nibiru one more time in the fairly near future. And of course, when we have a giant planet come back like Halley's Comet and zip around the sun and go back out again, but this thing is so gigantic, if and when it should arrive to come close around the sun, we will have unbelievable amounts of problems on the face of the earth. And of course, I'm all of a sudden here, I realize that a volcano or two, like the supernova under the Yellowstone Park, if it blows, we'll have that before we even have the Nibiru problem. But I'm not sure. It's kind of like a race, or like which which terrible event might take place first.
And, of course, it's all speculation, ladies and gentlemen, but basically, remember that, from my point of view, why America has turned against God, in fact, this has happened over in Europe as well, and suddenly we find, in reading past history, that when nations and societies turn against God, why terrible, terrible things happen. Go right ahead, Bob.
Yeah, and there's no question about it. If there ever was a point in time where a good house cleaning, and I hate to say it from that point of view because it's, in reality, we would be talking about like in the Nibiru situation or the Yellowstone. If that was to go, it would be a terrible loss of life. And, of course, destruction of cities and what have you. And again, the Yellowstone problem would be something that would be worldwide. It ends up spreading that the sun being blocked around the entire globe from all of the debris. And it takes so long for something like that to clear away that it would just stop the growth of plants. It would interrupt all types of manufacturing, all things of that sort. Life would be just radically changed if that happened. And if there ever was a time for a full house cleaning to be carried out by God, it certainly is that time because of, like you said, the turning away from everything that's godly and respectable on the face of the earth. It's happening all over. I mean, we have the Israeli situation and the Palestinian problem over there and the radical Islam movement that is directly teaching their young that they'll go to heaven quickly if they kill a Christian. I mean, this type of an attitude on the worldwide political scene, of course, has gotten so totally out of control. There's nothing that makes me sicker than to hear two adult people, you assume they're reasonably educated, on two sides of the fence telling each other that you stop bombing first or we're never going to stop. And then the response is, if you don't stop bombing us, we're never going to stop. And you have a skirmish disagreement between these two factions and two different ideologies among themselves in the Mideast, the Far East, the Mideast predominantly now, where both of them think that they're right 100% and that by their own biblical, the Quran and their understanding of it is that if they kill their neighbor that is of a different faith, that they're going to be moved into heaven more rapidly and sit at the side of their God. You know, it's just mind-boggling. I see these babies and infants and children that are being blown up on the basis of whose religion is superior to whose religion. You know, and of course over there it's just different. It's different community beliefs, so to speak, between a couple of the Shiites and their opposition to the other, and I saw
Shias and Sunni.
The Sunni and the Shiites, I guess. And they've been doing it. Their argument goes back 2,000 years. They were fighting and locking horns with each other at least 1,000, if not 2,000 years ago. It just goes on and on and on. I mean, it's just so outrageous. And again, the time for a house cleaning, I think, has come. And I hate to be the witness to seeing what will take place if any of the things that I'm concerned with actually take place within a short period of time. And the reason, or a big part of the reason that I got into it in studying this and making discoveries in this direction is because the elitists at the highest level are absolutely positive that this or something similar to what I'm talking about is about to take place. And they've been stealing the money, transferring funds, making things disappear out of budgets and putting it into these underground facilities, preparing themselves to survive against a situation that is almost going to be a non-survivable situation. Because going back 3,600 years, the last time it was reported that this planet Nibiru came by close around the sun and back out, the last time it passed through, it created Noah's floods and all of the horrific readings that we can we see in the Bible about the storms of meteorites falling from the sky and what have you. It's all part of the return of Nibiru, and it's all very biblically written about. It's written by many, many, almost every historical religious writing goes back, when you go back that far, it has a report of this circling of the planet of the crossing, or it's called the visiting star for the Chinese. And they had extremely good reports in their historic writings about the return of the flaming dragon, the visiting star, the star of Nemesis. It's got all these different names, but it really is this one single planet that is supposedly heading back around, five times the size of Earth. And it's not necessarily being considered to strike the Earth, which would be the end of everything, but it is considered to be, believed to be, going to come up close enough, go around the sun, and go back out, and it'll be dragging millions of miles of debris behind it. And therein is one of the biggest problems that we would have. And that is that when we are on our regular orbit circling the Earth, and this big planet will come around and back out, dragging millions of miles of junk, and we will pass through it two times. And the mathematics on it by astronomers is calculated, again, this is all just assumptions, but it's calculated that we would take about 1 hour to pass through the debris field, and then it'll be a couple of days, and then we will go through the second debris field of it going back out. And we will go through it two different times. I believe it's about a month or two between going through one and then going through the other. And when that happens, we will be totally pulverized by meteorites and what have you hitting the Earth, not to mention the gravitational effect that a planet passing through our system, being five times the size of Earth, what kind of a gravitational effect. And it's, again, calculated that it would yank the oceans right out of the seabeds and throw it up, several hundred miles inland on every coast of the entire globe. And again, that would be the repeat of Noah's floods.
And I think people can go up on the internet and look up Planet X or Nimuru, and there's all sorts of scientific studies and responsible information there that is being blacked out. Now, is this going to happen? I don't know. I mean, that certainly could be something else, but I think that something big is about to take place, something major, and I think that you would agree with that, certainly, wouldn't you, Bob?
Oh, yeah, and again, I've kind of zeroed in on the return of Nibiru because of discovering a handful of little things that they all fit into the puzzle of to what it may or may not be that has scared the big shots that have their hands on our money and where they've gone and taken that money and built all these, 100 of these underground facilities in just in the United States. And to find out that Russia had built 5,000, now not necessarily as big as the individual ones we have, but they have built 5,000. So it's a global thing. And it is something of such a large magnitude that it would scare these big shots that have their hands in our pockets up there, so to speak, enough so that they've been actually canceling other projects and moving everything to, let's say, assist themselves in developing their hideouts for this event.
And there is going to be an event. What it is, we're just going to have to wait and see. Our best is, I guess, is Bob Fletcher. Bob, I'm going to have to want you to hang on just for a moment because I want to get your telephone number out and so people can get in touch with you. Hang on. We'll be back in a moment.
Sure.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest has been Bob Fletcher, and we were so enthralled by what he was saying that we forgot to tell you how to get in touch with him. Now, Bob has a number of DVDs, about 9 of them he's put together. They're all excellent. We recommend them. And I want you to go to his website or call him and get the items. Bob, how can people get in touch with you and your ministry and get your material?
Well, on the just simply guess the best way is you can go on a computer, and it's BobFletcherInvestigations.com. That's BobFletcherInvestigations.com, and that'll put us where you can look at our catalog and go from there. Or, of course, they can get most all of my material through your ministries as well. And, of course, if you wish to do that, that's fine. But it's BobFletcherInvestigations.com. And if we do we have 1 minute left?
Here we go. 1 minute left. You go right ahead.
This is I have the speech. This is about 30 seconds of Obama announcing the world order. Listen to this.
Order that we have worked for generations to build. ordinary men and women are too small-minded to govern their own affairs. That order and progress can only come when individuals surrender their rights to an all-powerful sovereign.
Can you believe that?
I can believe it. I can believe almost anything, Bob.
That's unbelievable. We have that entire thing. I've got to put it together properly so that people can go over it. It's unbelievable that a seated president of the United States would come forward with that, and that was in 2014. That was this year. Okay.
Well, Bob, thanks for everything you do. We look forward to having you with us again sometime very, very soon.
Thank you very much.
God bless. Okay, that's Bob Fletcher, and I hope you'll go to his website and certainly get his material. We think it's excellent, and certainly we appreciate having him here on the program on a regular basis. And whether it's Project Planet X, or whether suddenly it is an explosion of a major earthquake, suddenly a major volcano, whatever it is, I really sincerely believe that God is going to bring his judgment on America. And I would ask you, why wouldn't God, if he's a just God, bring punishment on this land? Now, that doesn't mean that suddenly those of us who are Christians are not going to have options. And this is why we need to begin making our preparations now to understand that we are going to see the economy that we have known right now, it's booming. Stock market's up, but it's only temporarily. The Bank for International Settlement has released a statement saying that they are going to guide the coming recession. And because when they talk about that, remember the Bank for International Settlements is the central bank's central bank. And it takes care not only what's going on in America, but also out the rest of the world, throughout Europe. And I think there are about 54 of the major countries that belong to the Bank for International Settlement. And they're talking about suddenly regulating this recession that is about to come about, I believe, all across the world. How soon will it come? I don't know. What will the incident be that will begin to precipitate this? I don't know. But make your preparations accordingly of that is going to be a contraction in the world economy, and the world economy is already not doing very well. There's tremendous poverty out there, and it's going to get a lot worse. They're going to destroy the value of the currencies, and an awful lot of people are going to end up being impoverished. And of course, I believe this is part and parcel of God's plan of bringing judgment upon America, bringing judgment on the world, because the world is turned against God. Well, this is the time I need to remind you that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. We're dependent upon those of you who listen to our program to help us. And if you're in a position to help, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And if you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty and help us financially, why give us a call? And if not, we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.